Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke court. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We2D, back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. And we are here on this Friday afternoon to give my final thoughts on this Good Friday edition of the podcast. Final thoughts of WrestleMania as we head into a big two-night extravaganza. And let me tell you something, right? I was watching Pat McAfee earlier today, and when he started the show, when he unleashed that WrestleMania stage, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, as much as I've been complaining and how much I'm going to complain on this podcast, right? Because I always say that there's always tricks to the game. There's gimmicks you can use in wrestling to trick people into believing the product is good. And even with all of that, right, and I'm able to see, hey, this build hasn't been the best. And there are concerns that I have, right? Bro, seeing that stage and seeing the pyro go off and the emotion of WrestleMania and seeing Wavy D put pictures in the casual wrestling Discord of him being in Vegas at the GCW show and seeing other content creators talk about being in Vegas and seeing their content, I'm hyped, bro. Right? And this is what happens, right? This is what happened last year. And then you look back in hindsight, and I'm the hindsight guy, right? You know, a lot of people in the casual community, they're in the moment type of guy, right? So we'll get to the end of the year awards. And if there's a match that kills it, that maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the line doesn't make much sense in a storyline perspective, but it kills it in the moment, that might be match of the year to some of the casual community, right? I'm a hindsight guy, right? So I'm the type of person that would look at WrestleMania 40 and say, hey, in hindsight, the build towards that main event wasn't as good as it felt in the moment, right? And so there may be an episode in 6 months where I said, that build didn't feel good in the moment. But looking back in hindsight, Triple H was just laying some layers. I reserve that right in 6 months. If the story that this creates and leads to ends up being a banger, I reserve the right to say, bro, I was wrong. Information has changed. This build wasn't as bad as I said. But we'll get to that point in 6 months when we'll make that judgment. In the moment, though, let me be the in-the-moment guy. This build has not been the best WrestleMania build. But seeing that stage, y'all, I'm hype for tomorrow. We got 2 full days of wrestling starting tomorrow with Stand and Deliver. I'm going to say this. If you're going to watch Stand and Deliver, watch the pre-show, because that match is a banger of a match on the pre-show. So 12 p.m. Eastern time, 9 a.m. local time for Mania, right? Watch the pre-show, watch Stand and Deliver, get a feel of the future of the business, your sort of pre-game to WrestleMania night 2. Definitely check that out. If there's time in between the 2 shows, which I fully expect there to be, I don't expect Stand and Deliver to be a 4-hour show, right? I expect Stand and Deliver to be over by 2, 2:30, 3 at the latest Eastern time. I'm going to do a reaction to Stand and Deliver, posted as an episode leading up to WrestleMania. As for the WrestleMania reactions, still up in the air. So the Slapping Meat channel won't have anything, but still up in the air about whether or not I'll be able to hop on a live stream with Notorious Dirty D and the Casual Wrestling guys. Still not sure if I'm going to be able to do that. Just depends and what that turns out to. But outside of that, this is going to be a great night, a great weekend. I know there was stuff on Wednesday and stuff on Thursday, but the Friday of WrestleMania week is to me the beginning of when I start to feel pumped about the individual event, right? WrestleMania has started to me, right? We got the go home show tonight. And I can't wait to see what happens. The only real thing I expect anything to happen with is the Cena-Cody story. I do think The Rock, I just have a feeling The Rock shows up tonight. I just don't see why he wouldn't. So that's the biggest thing I think we're going to get out of this. Of course, we get the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I think the Street Profits will defend their titles, if I saw that correctly. But with that being said, you know, this is a long intro about that. Before we jump into my actual final thoughts, I want to talk about some news that has broke in the wrestling world. It's, you know, there's not a lot of newsworthy things that break out on a week-to-week basis in wrestling, being that it is drama. Like, it's kind of like you would be weird if you turned into a Star Wars podcast, right? And every single week they were giving you like news stories from the story online, like, oh, Darth Vader or what, you know. It would be weird if like they would give you news stories from a kayfabe perspective, right? I got three things I want to talk about. So the first thing within, and these are all things that happened since last Friday. So last Friday till today. So not everything is brand new breaking news, right? But so the first thing is, at some point in this build to WrestleMania, Triple H got on a podcast, right? And if you watch the casual wrestling stuff, right? Casual Wrestling Community Daily Show, myself and Junkyard James was on it on Thursday. It was Wednesday night, but the episode aired Thursday. Right. And if you saw that episode, I talked about this, like, why is Triple H doing the press work, the PR? Why is Nick Khan doing the podcast? Why don't they have talent doing that? And so that's my genuine concern with this. The main story I want to talk about is Triple H told the fans, told the IWC to stop complaining. And I have an issue. Nick Khan said something similar about how he doesn't care about the online critique. And we talked about that last Sunday, I believe. I have a genuine dislike of that opinion. Because I said this with Nick Khan when we talked about it, the town square of professional wrestling and really everything in culture is social media, and more specifically the discussion on X, right? And so that the actual conversation about the show happens on X. And if you're not going to listen to that and you don't want your fans to critique your product, I'm starting to believe that Triple H and Nick Khan and the guys in the front office of WWE are just as charm and soft as I'm going to talk to you about the IWC is, right? There are some people in the IWC, myself, Dirty D, JD from NY. I can list a whole bunch of people, right? Jobber, who go on these critiques of wrestling, whether it is AEW or whether it is WWE. And the critique, I'll use the same thing I say about AEW. My critique of AEW is because I know what they've been. I know they've reached a million. A million viewers to me on TV is the benchmark because I know they've done it before, right? And so I know how good your product could be, right? I hardly complained about AEW in 2021, 2022 because the product was decent, the ratings were good, and it was actually decent programming. Understanding that it wasn't for me, there are certain wrestlers I wasn't a fan of and certain things, right? But once you come out and your tagline is like, this is where the best wrestle, and you're getting 500,000 viewers on in ratings, and you're putting on boring action matches that have zero purpose, right? And so I just, it's one of those things where like, the critique of AEW is because we want it to do good. We know it can do. And the same thing with WWE. You can't critique your fans who are criticizing your product because you're giving a bad product. Fix the product and we'll watch and enjoy it. But if you're right, there's no excuse for giving us. We're almost 4 months through the year, right? We're almost 16 weeks into 2025, which is crazy to think about, right? It's crazy to think about how quickly this year is going by. We are four, eight, 12, 13, 14, 15. We're 15 weeks into the year. We're 15 weeks into the year, right? Out of 52. We're almost 30% of the way done with the year, right? Meaning, or my point of bringing that up is we're 30% through the year. We're 30% through the amount of episodes of SmackDown you're going to give me in a 52-week year. And you've produced maybe three SmackDowns in the year of 2025 that have been worth watching. Right? There have been probably 7 or 8 Raws that I would consider good, right? And like decent, not boring product, right? So Raw's definitely better than SmackDown. So when there's a critique on SmackDown, it's because we know the roster you have, how talented they are. We know you can tell stories, but you're just not giving out good product. So if you would give good product, we would stop complaining, right? And so the need for criticism, there's always going to be that need for criticism in entertainment because I'm trying to remember how I worded it when I talked about this on Twitter. Entertainment is subjective. If what I find you put on TV is bad, I have the right to voice my displeasure. Right? So I just, there needs to be a way for people to voice that displeasure, right? And we don't have the same type of world where people would gather by the water coolers and talk wrestling. And it's not even just wrestling. It's any type of entertainment or art form. A lot of that conversation of the communities happen on social media, whether it's Discord, whether it's Twitter or X, whether it's TikTok, right? That place has to exist. And it will always exist, right? Because entertainment and art is subjective. So you may find one thing good. I may find that bad. And I think there needs to be that open dialogue, right? But the problem is a lot of people don't want to have conversations. They automatically, you know, if I disagree with you, it comes, again, just like I say with AEW fans, they make it personal when it's not, right? Another thing we talked about on the Thursday episode of Casual Wrestling Daily was Mariah May. And I just want to briefly touch on this a little bit more here. It does appear Mariah May's leaving and coming to WWE. Like I said on that show that aired Thursday for Casual Wrestling YouTube channel, I don't necessarily like if she can't comes now. Perfect. Timing, I think, is good for NXT. The idea of when her contract's over, some say this summer, some say this fall, some say there's even another year on it. We don't know for certain, right? I do kind of feel this is a bargaining chip on her, a marketing scheme on her. I'm going to try to get a bidding war, and I'm going to try to maximize the amount of money I can make from this. Which I think is a good business decision from her. I think the best thing for her to do right now, like I said on Thursday on that episode, was stay in AEW, sign like a two-year contract, sign with AEW, give it 2 years when you're in your prime, go get some more big feuds, right? Go beat a Mercedes, go beat a Jamie Hayter, something like that, right? And come in at the end of that 2 years, come to WWE at 28 when Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Bianca and Jade and Naomi and everyone clogging up the top of the main roster are gone. And then you have Tiffany Stratton and then a whole bunch of NXT class like Sol Ruka, Jordan Grace, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, Roxanne, Cora Jade. They're going to be up running the main roster. You can slide into NXT for a year and run a program there and then come immediately to the main roster. Something I didn't say on that episode that I compared her to Tiffany Stratton, and then I got off camera from recording that and I said, she is Tiffany Stratton in terms of the look, but her ability to perform as a character is Chelsea Green-esque, right? So she's like a mixture of Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green. In my opinion, right? I think she's good in the ring. I wouldn't say necessarily athletic. I make a difference between athletic and I can run the ropes, right? Because I don't necessarily think she's athletic per se. But she knows how to run the ropes. And she's decent. She doesn't have a dangerous style, which is what appeals to me to her, right? So there's that. The one more modern, I guess, more breaking news is this Roman Reigns drama, and we're gonna touch it, right? There's not gonna be a lot of podcasters who talk about this issue, right? And the ones who do are going to talk about it very distanced and very, you know, they're gonna distance themselves away from the political drama. And if y'all know anything about me, y'all know that I don't do that shit, right? I'm gonna get right up close and personal with y'all. The IWC is softer than Charmin, right? They got that Charmin triple soft. That's how soft, how S-A-W-F-T the IWC is. Because Roman Reigns comes out, he gets asked by Vanity Fair about who he voted for. Somehow the conversation gets brought up about him supporting Donald Trump. And he admits to voting Donald Trump, and he gives his whole reasoning to that, right? Now, here's the thing. I don't care who Roman Reigns voted for, right? I don't care who any of my listeners voted for. We all have our reasons for why we vote what we want. If y'all want to have that conversation with me, a lot of wrestling podcasters won't offer to have that conversation. I'll have a conversation with you on who I supported and why I did. Let me tell you something. I didn't vote for either of the two major candidates. I'll just be straight up and honest with you. Because I the guy I voted for was the guy I felt was best suited to lead the country towards the perspective and the worldview that I have. Right? And that is how voting should be. That's right. We can talk politics and all of that all day long. It's outside of wrestling. That y'all know me, history, religion, politics. I love those controversial topics. But here's my issue. It's not that Roman Reigns supported Donald Trump and voted for Donald Trump. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the response to it. Because I've said this for the last 2 years, right? We're almost done with April. We got May and we got June. June 30th will be the 2 year, I guess, anniversary of the day that WrestleTalk tried to cancel me on TikTok. Right? And since that day, I've made it my mission that every time there's a double standard on this type of political issue, right? Because here's the thing. I know a lot of people, a lot of podcasters, a lot of the listeners, just, you know, a lot of people in just normal life, a lot of normal civilians don't care about politics, right? I have a differing opinion. My opinion on that is you may not care about politics, but politics surely cares about you. Everything that happens in the political spectrum affects your daily life. You should care about it. Now, you shouldn't care about who an individual votes for. They have their own personal reasons, but you should care about the political process and be educated enough to understand the game of politics, because it is a game, and how to play it, right? And whatever Roman's reason was for voting who he voted for, that's his reasoning. Whether it's a logical reason or not, that's for a different conversation. What I want to talk about is the double standard within the IWC. Because I've said this for the last 2 years, maybe even longer. Anyone that speaks in the wrestling world that goes against the mainstream fan base idea, right? So there's sort of this dichotomy in wrestling, right? Where I'm willing to bet a majority of the performers, especially the older ones, the more veteran performers, a majority of them I'm willing to bet are a little bit more conservative. I know, you know, Nick Nimmuth has come out in support of Trump in the last year and a half. You know, of course, you got Kane, Undertaker, Logan Paul, now Roman, right? I'm willing to bet a lot of the older time wrestlers, more than likely, while they may be moderate, would lean towards someone like Trump. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about the politics of this because that's the type of person I am. I'm breaking this down because no other podcast, and as much as I love Notorious Dirty D, right? He did a very good job talking about this issue on his episode that came out today. But I still felt like he does this on purpose. He didn't want to make it political, right? I don't care about the consequences of making this political. I don't care. And I'm here. I feel like I'm here to educate people, right? This podcast means nothing if you don't take anything away from it, right? So here's the thing. There's a reason why someone who's registered Democrat, like Roman Reigns, would vote for Trump. There's a reason for that, right? Because you saw it in November at the ballot box, where you saw counties like Miami-Dade County in Florida that's highly Democratic go red for Donald Trump, where for the first time When was the last time the Republican Party won the popular vote? That's a great question. Probably George Bush. I don't know that answer off the top of my head, but typically if a Republican won office, especially with Trump's first time he won, he didn't win the popular vote. This time around, he did. Not only did he win the Electoral College, he got more votes just upright than Kamala Harris. Right? And so whether you care about I don't care what candidate you support, we have to justify that this nation voiced their opinion, and it is what it is. And I feel like what people don't recognize is that Donald Trump isn't your standard Republican, right? I don't think people realize that he's playing professional wrestling on a political stage. Everything he says and does is intentional for the purpose of drawing press, right? He always needs the bad guy, right? He always needs the villain, right? And everything that he says, there's always that villain, right? Whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala or Anthony Fauci or Big Pharma, or whoever his villain that he makes, he's doing the business of professional wrestling on a political stage. I'll be plainly honest for you. I'm not a big Donald Trump fan because of that very reason. He's making politics and government a clown show, right? And I feel like there's a lot of people on both sides of that aisle that are making the government a clown show, right? And so politics does come off more like pro wrestling than pro wrestling at times. But the double standard I want to drag this back down to, the logic that I want to use is that Chelsea Green or CM Punk or Seth Rollins or Sami Zayn, right, or any more liberal political or more liberal person in pro wrestling, you know, can speak their mind all day long about whatever opinions they have. And guess what? They have that right to free speech. The problem that I have is that IWC doesn't bat an eye when Chelsea Green comes out and is in full support of, you know, of the LGBTQ movement, or when Sami Zayn comes out and makes these posts about Palestine, right? And I don't care what you feel on those issues. That's not what I want to bring up, right? But the IWC doesn't bat an eye over that. But the second someone like Hulk Hogan comes out and supports Trump, or Kane gets repeatedly berated by wrestlers when he makes a conservative standpoint, or someone like Val Venus, who has come out and directly questioned Chelsea's logic and her opinion. Because here's the problem. Chelsea Green immediately went to ad hominems when Val Venus approached her to have a conversation into question, because she doesn't have a logic to this. She is a white knight. I 100% believe Chelsea Green white knights on Twitter. I don't think she has an understanding of what she's talking about, right? No one bats an eye when Chelsea Green talks about the LGBT, you know, trans day of visitation. But the second Jada Parker likes a post celebrating the fact, I forgot what state it was, I think it could have been Florida, where they banned trans women from playing in women's sports, right? So biological males who transition to females aren't allowed to play in female sports, right? And she liked the post. We don't know what her political beliefs are. We just know that she liked the post, right? And that's a complicated issue. I don't think it's as complicated as people want to make it to be. But that's a different conversation. Right? But Chelsea Green's opinion is validated by the IWC. Jada Parker, you know, they tried to cancel her. Right? Roman, you know, if you know, CM Punk would have come out and it was on Vanity Fair and said he voted for Kamala Harris or voted for some other non-conservative candidate, the IWC would have not given two shits. But the second Roman Reigns comes out and says, yeah, I'm not a hardcore Republican. I'm more moderate. I'm registered Democrat, but I voted Donald Trump. And these are my reasons why. They react emotionally to it. And it, there's that double standard. The second someone does something to the IWC that doesn't fit their preconceived narrative on how the world is supposed to work, instead of being an adult and either having a conversation about it or just scrolling and moving along, saying, I disagree with him, they take it personally, and now they're trying to cancel the man. Some have even come and said, oh, I hope he gets cancer again, which is absolutely insane. It's that level of hypocrisy in the IWC that I continue to want to expose to whoever will listen to me. And you're not going to shut me up about it, right? I do lean more conservative, which is the reason why I didn't support Donald Trump. This is to be straight up front and honest with everybody. Because I consider Donald Trump, MAGA, his movement, I consider that to be populism, which is what it is. It's populism. It isn't true conservatism. It's not even republicanism. It's just a far right version of the same socialism that the left preaches, right? I don't know if people understand, you know, political science that well, but like, I'll take someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, right? She is, you know, super far left socialist, right? And so I would take someone like, I'll just say MAGA as a whole. They would be more populist, but AOC is a populist as well. But AOC is a leftist populist, where populism is essentially just the people are the will of the people takes precedence over anything else, right? I'm willing to support, you know, to stand in the gap for my people that I represent. Trump and AOC are not far away from the same political system. Both are populist. One are socialistic populism. One is more, I don't want to say fascist, because fascism is just another form of totalitarianism, right? But like, even like, you know, they label Trump the Nazi part, like part of the Nazi party, right? But what were the Nazis? The Nazis were national socialists. They're no different than AOC. And so MAGA and the, I don't even know what you would call the far left, the far right and the far left are literally just two wings on the same bird leading to the same place. They're both controlled by a form of totalitarianism. True conservatism isn't about the will of the people necessarily. True conservatism is representative republic, right? We the people are represented by the way, you know, we elect Congress and Congress makes the laws. The president is elected by the congressman. That's how it was until I forgot what amendment it was that got enacted to where we voted for the president. It used to be up until like the early 1900s that the citizens of America would vote for the House of Representatives and the Senate, and then those 435 members of Congress would elect the president. That's how it used to be. And that would be based on the will of the people. right? And what they're represented, they were right. Again, I'm not, I didn't come here to give you a political science lesson. My problem is that Roman voted for Trump. We shouldn't care that much, right? Because my ultimate point is this. It's a TV show. And you shouldn't care who the actor in the TV show voted for. You should care about the act, the character the actor's playing. Because that's the only reason you're watching the show. Idolizing these human beings or hating them based on their personal political preferences is weird. You can have your own opinions, whatever you want, right? But you can't expect, you can't be so entitled to expect every single person, every single celebrity that you like to agree with you. And I feel like this younger generation around my age and younger is so entitled to feeling like the world should revolve around them. And it's not how the real world works. They haven't been hit with the real world, right? You even got people who are like 30, 35, 40, who have just been pampered to their entire life and haven't been hit with the real world. And they're the ones that are doing the complaining here, right? Who cares who Roman Reigns voted for? I'm still going to cheer for my tribal chief, right? In the same way that I don't agree with CM Punk politically, but I like his character work. I like the story he's telling me right now. I don't agree with Seth Rollins politically on a lot of issues that I've seen him speak about, right? But I still cheer for his character. I still picked him to win. There's a lot of people in the IWC who are hoping Roman just completely falls off the face of the world. And that's insane. That's absolutely unhinged behavior. But let's move on to my final predictions. I got a couple things. Now that I spent 40 minutes on the news, I got a couple things I want to talk about to justify one claim. I have one claim, and then I have a bunch of points to prove it, right? And that claim is this. This is one of the worst WrestleMania builds that I can remember, right? So first off, the first point that I have is we're always told that Triple H has WrestleMania locked in stone, at least the direction he wants to go, in like late October. There's no way you can tell me that the WrestleMania card we're getting this weekend was the original plan to go, right? There had to have been some shifting. And I 100% believe that there's no way he even booked any of this in October. All of this feels random and on the spot. Like, I don't think he had a single rough draft of this WrestleMania card. I think he went into WrestleMania and this build heading into Rumble, and he was booking on the fly. And he was laying out a framework, but he didn't have any finalized plans. There's no way you can look at this card and tell me this is what he had on paper back in October. And if it was, Triple H, just air out your notes, do a documentary, show me what you got coming, right? And what you had planning, but there's no way, right? So my first question then is, was The Rock supposed to wrestle? And by wrestle, I mean, was he supposed to wrestle Roman? And if he was, what happened to stop that? That's the first question that I have, right? Because this whole WrestleMania, I'm going to be completely honest, we left WrestleMania 40. And I think all of us, correct me if I'm wrong, tell me if you disagree with me. I think all of us, at least the majority of, at least the casual audience, felt that the way we left WrestleMania 40, that it would only make sense that The Rock and Roman would happen at WrestleMania 41, and that the entire year of 2024 into 2025 would be a build towards Roman versus Rock. And none of that has happened. And then we all sort of held on. I gave you guys to Elimination Chamber 48 days ago, March 1st. I said, I'll give you to Chamber before I let go of the hope that we'll get Roman versus Rock. And we obviously didn't get that. And now I don't care to see the match at all. I don't care about the how many tickets it'll sell. Will I pop when they announce it? Maybe. But I really don't have any interest in that match anymore, because this was the last year that made any hint of sense of that happening. So my question is if that match was planned, what stopped it? Right? My next thing is really more of a question is, why are we complicating the women's division so much? Look at the women's matches on this card. Tiffany versus Charlotte is the right pairing, but the story is too complicated. You should have had a babyface Charlotte Flair come in, lose Rumble, right? Which is another point that I have here, that in hindsight, Charlotte Flair should not have won the Royal Rumble. Should have been Bianca Belair. And you had Bianca choose Rhea, and that should have been that match, right? But you overcomplicate Rhea and Bianca, and you throw Io Sky in the mix, and you get a jumbled mess that, I mean, it's going to be a banger of a match to start night two, officially confirmed. By the way, I predicted that. Go back to Tuesday. I also told you guys, go back to Tuesday. Jay and Gunther starting WrestleMania. And from the rumors, that's exactly what's going to happen. I predicted that. Oh, but you can't have Gunther start the night, right? Everyone's seeing Jay versus Gunther start the show, and everyone automatically assumed, oh, well, that means Jay is winning because you got to hype. No. Gunther's winning. I'm standing on this. I'm standing on business. Gunther's winning this match. But we're back to the women's division, right? So you complicate the booking of Tiffany and Charlotte. It should have been real simple. It should have been this babyface Charlotte who comes in, loses Rumble, has to earn her way back to Chamber, put herself in the good graces of the women's roster, who doesn't like her, thinks she shouldn't be in the title picture because she's been out for so long. And she faces Tiffany, who's this bad bitch heel, who thinks her shit don't stink. She's young, right? She thinks she can say whatever she want. And you have Tiffany, or even if you want it to continue down the realm of, and I think a lot of the confusion in this story is because of the unprofessionality of both of the wrestlers, right? Did Charlotte, you know, I've talked about this. Did Charlotte act unprofessionally? Sure. But I do think her acting unprofessionally still revolved around character, still gave a layup to Tiffany Stratton if she wanted to play ball, and to take that ring and just start crying in the ring, start complaining about Charlotte being a bully. And instead of calling out her personal life, saying, I'm going to win this feud, right? If I'm going over, I'm a point her out to be a bully, and then I'm going to beat the bully. And that's the story that's the hook that can connect with people, right, in the fan base. Even something as, you know, Liv and Raquel as women's championship, rather than giving them an actual tag team to fight and to defend their titles against, you throw Bayley, who was in a really good feud with Roxanne Perez, that could have been on the Stand and Deliver card, could have even been on the Mania card and made some sense. But instead, now Roxanne's on the pre-show teaming with Cora, which makes no sense because they were feuding at one point, or at least like heated, right, at each other. Yeah, Bayley and Lyra, and Lyra should be defending her title, and this is what I've been saying since the jump. Lyra versus Io Sky would have been a much better match for WrestleMania, with Io winning, getting the prestige to that title that an Io Sky gives, and then setting up a feud with a Dakota Kai or a returning Asuka or a returning Kairi Sane or some sort of feud like that. That would have been beautiful, right? Would have been perfect. And then having Bianca and Rhea just tell the Titan versus Titan story of, right, that had a lot going on. I think that's the most simplest match in the women's roster part of WrestleMania is Jade and Naomi. But to another point that I have here, Jade returned too early. She should not have been at Elimination Chamber. Naomi doesn't need to be a part of this. I'm just going to be completely honest, right? This should have all been, like, this part of the story It should have all been focused on getting Rhea and Bianca in the ring together, having Bianca win the title, and then Jade returns on the Monday Night Raw after Mania with the big crowd, the European crowd, the hardcore fan base in the arena in Vegas, in T-Mobile Arena. And Jade returns to congratulate, it seems, Bianca, and then turns on Bianca, and then the next week shows the footage that it was Bianca who attacked her. That should have been the story, right? That should have been the plan, right? So women's division is highly too complicated, and it didn't have to be this way. We got a heel John Cena, which for the most part hasn't worked. I said this on Tuesday. With not having Cena on screen in this character has made Cody feel like Batman without his Joker. Heel Cena has failed solely because he hasn't been on TV. Cody doesn't seem like he has a legitimate threat. And I think they thought that because it was John Cena that people would still tune in for this match. And trust me, it's going to be a banger of a match. And I expect a whole lot of shit to go down. But heel Cena at this point has failed. Right? Lyra doesn't have a story for her title. Chelsea isn't on the card for her title. Could we see Chelsea make an interruption and play that victim gimmick that she plays and maybe get an impromptu match? Sure. Sure we could. Right? But let me ask you another question. I'm gonna list a name of superstars and talk about them. Where are these people? These are all people who have been introduced to us in the WrestleMania build, whether at Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber, that aren't on this card. Becky Lynch was the only one that doesn't fit that criteria, right? But we had this idea, now the news story's coming out, that she was offered the match that I predicted was going to happen, Becky versus Lyra. And maybe that's why Lyra's so, right? But you can't pivot for that. You can't put an Io Sky in there instead of convoluting the women's championship, the big one. You couldn't have put Io. You couldn't have given us a better story for Lyra heading into Mania if Becky said no. Where's Alexa Bliss? And with that, where's the Wyatts? Because we know that's what she's a part of. Where's Alexa Bliss? You debut her at Rumble to the biggest pop of the night. She's in the chamber, does a decent job there, but she's not on the Mania card. Nikki Bella shows up, number 30 of the Royal Rumble, nowhere to be seen. The rest of the build to WrestleMania, the wasted spot in the Rumble. Solo Sikoa, why is he not on this? The biggest focus of 2024 was on Solo Sikoa. Yet he's not a big feature, or at least in a mid-card match here. Sami Zayn, now I get it. He's kayfabe hurt. He's taking some time off. But why is Sami not in a match here? He was one of the biggest characters of the last year and a half. And really would have helped this card out a little bit, right? Roxanne Perez. You bring her in at Rumble. You have her the longest in the match. You set her up big. She's in Chamber. She has a big feud with Bayley going on at the time. And then you sort of pull the plug on it. And you panic a little bit. And you move from that. Why? The Street Profits. You mean to tell me you couldn't create a ladder match with the five teams on SmackDown? Because that would have made a hell of a lot more sense. They had more story going for them than War Raiders and New Day. And then the last one I've already sort of talked about, but Chelsea Green and the Women's U.S. title. Where are they at? Why is she not on the card? Right? Next question. What has Rey Mysterio really done in the last year to get on the WrestleMania card? Now, granted, could steal the show with El Grande Americano. Don't know why I said that Italian, but El Grande Americano is great. It's going to be a great match. But what has Rey Mysterio really done? It's really hard for me to believe Triple H, and that you got to earn your spot on the card when all Rey Mysterio has done over the last like really 4 years is hold down the LWO. Right? Why so many multi-person matches, not just in WrestleMania, but the whole weekend? Stand and Deliver is full of multi-person matches. Why debut Rey Fénix during the build to Mania when that could have been a big pop on the Monday after? Thoroughly would have waited. And the last one is something that I don't know if a lot of people have heard about, but I do want to break this down. And that is there's a wrestler from New Japan named Jeff Cobb. If you're a more hardcore fan, you know about him. If you're a little bit more casual, like I assume most of my audience is, probably never heard the name before. There's a rumor that he's going to be debuting potentially at WrestleMania. And the question would be is like, why would you debut someone at Mania like a Jeff Cobb? And so the idea was that he's going to help Cena win. He's going to be the third man in the Rock's faction, right? It's Rock, it's Cena, and it's Jeff Cobb. And the question is why would you put Jeff Cobb in that position when no one really knows about him? And so my first retort to that is no one knew about the Tonga Bros, right? No one knew about Tama Tonga and Tongaloa in the casual audience when they showed up from New Japan, right? A lot of these people in the casual wrestling community who I respect their opinions of had zero idea who they were, right? And they gave him a chance. So why are we not going to give Jeff, right? Here's the cool thing about Jeff Cobb. You can bring him in with zero knowledge from a casual audience, right? You can bring him in, right? And you can introduce him to this crowd, and they're going to be curious, who is this big motherfucker who just destroyed, maybe he attacks Cody Rhodes, right? In some way, shape, or form. And joins this faction, and they don't know anything about him. All they hear is Michael Cole yelling, "That's Jeff Cobb! That's Jeff Cobb from New Japan!" or something like that, right? And then they can start to form him in their image rather than using the New Japan image, right? That Tony Khan would have used Jeff Cobb in a way that's like, here's what he did in New Japan, so you should like him here. WWE has the option to say, hey, forget about your New Japan stuff. Forget about your Lucha Underground stuff. We're going to bring you in and create your own backstory, right? And that's something you could do, and that would immediately hook the casual fans. I thoroughly believe it. He's good enough to make that hook. I thoroughly, thoroughly believe that. Last thing is Rusev is almost certain to be Randy Orton's opponent this weekend. And while I'm not 100% against it, like I'm fine with it being Rusev. I would prefer it to be Rusev over an Aleister Black. I just don't like Rusev coming in, and it almost requires him to win the match because you don't want to re-debut this man and have him lose. And so I've always sort of felt like it had to be Aldis at this point. Aldis makes the most practical, logical sense. Randy could win. It's not going to hurt Aldis because it's probably going to be his only match in the company, but it could also set up a situation where Aldis gets the itch for wrestling again and they hire a new GM. Like, you know, maybe they bring up Ava. It feels at times that what they've done on NXT with having Ava as GM, but then having Robert Stone and Stevie Turner be like the assistant to the GM. And now Stevie Turner's evolved the GM, and Robert Stone could easily take over NXT, and you could move up Ava, right, to SmackDown to run SmackDown and have Nick Aldis be an active competitor. I don't see why that would be an issue. I personally don't. I think Nick Aldis has to be the opponent. But with that, that's my WrestleMania final thoughts. Not anything new. I think the build has been pretty mid, pretty, you know, lackluster in comparison to former WrestleMania's builds. I do think the show will be really good, right? I'm expecting two nights of really solid storytelling. I just don't know if the story leading up to tonight will that's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth when I think about, right? Now, WWE, if they have an opportunity to win me back into their good graces, right? From me complaining every week to, you know, I'll never be like what Junkyard James does. Like Junkyard James, like slobbers and glazes Tony Khan. I will never do that for Triple H. And when I start to catch myself doing that for Shawn Michaels, I have to remember Shawn Michaels hasn't been booking perfect. He does really good, but he's not perfect, right? There are some things that Shawn Michaels does, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like making Stephanie Vaquer a double champion, just a stripper the next week. Anyway, right? But it's one of those things. I'm excited. I'm telling you something. I'm like a kid the night before Christmas tonight, right? So we got SmackDown. I'm off the rest of the week. So we got SmackDown. We got the Hall of Fame, which I know I complain about the time. It's going to be like 1 a.m. when the Hall of Fame starts. So I probably will be asleep, more than likely. And I will just watch the speeches on X tomorrow morning when I wake up. But if I'm up at the time, you know, you got the Hall of Fame after SmackDown. And yeah, man, it's going to be a really, really, really good, you know, the next 48 hours. Even the Raw after. And then you got you got NXT. I don't know if NXT is going to be live from Vegas. I think I saw something that they might be. But really, up until Tuesday after. So you got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 24, 48, 72, 84, is it 80, 90, 96? The next 96 hours are about to just be like kid in it's just gonna be great. It's just gonna be great, y'all. I'm just gonna say, like kid at Christmas right now, right? It's Christmas Eve. You know, you're 8, 9 years old. There's no presents under the. I don't know when these families started doing this shit. I remember growing up, and no one put presents under the tree until the morning of Christmas when you went, right? I don't know. I've gone to some people's houses and seen people where, like, get, you know, the parents, the gifts that the parents buy for the children that aren't from Santa start showing up, you know, early December. I don't know where that comes from. If you're gonna lie, like embezzle the fucking lie and say Santa got everything. But like, it's like that kid on Christmas, nothing's under the tree, Santa's coming, you wake up the next morning, there's presents all over the place. I remember, you know, just a story to relate to that. Like, I remember the year I was probably 8th grade. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I was like 8th grade, 9th grade, and I wanted to have an actual, like, a guitar, right? That's one thing I don't know if people know. I know I can play guitar a little bit. And I had, like, one of those cheap Walmart acoustic guitars, but I wanted, like, an actual guitar and an amp and everything, right? Now, you could sort of tell what it is. You know, by the shape of the box, right? With what the amps come in and the size of all the boxes. So like, there were certain places in my house that I was just not allowed to go in growing up. And that's where they hid the presents at, right? And so, like, waking up Christmas morning and seeing, like, what are these big-ass boxes that haven't, you know, like, what are they? Could it really be? And so just getting excited, right? So I'm getting giddy, you know, when SmackDown comes on and Cena's out there, I'm going to get giddy, right? Kid in a candy store, kid at Christmas, right? So we'll see what we get tonight and in the next two nights with WrestleMania. Those are my final thoughts. Let me know what you think. I'm not going to hold you guys up much longer. To all the guys in Vegas, I know B-Master's on his way. Probably about the time he hears this, he'll be on the plane. I know Wavy D's already there. I think those are the only two that ended up going. Some other, you know, issues happened with Mike and Nerdy D. And so, unfortunately, the whole group wasn't able to get there. But have a great time, those who are in Vegas. The schedule for us, like I said, depending on when Stand and Deliver ends, there may be an instant review of Stand and Deliver tomorrow. But I'm not going to do an episode on Sunday, being that there is WrestleMania. No episode Sunday. So maybe tomorrow afternoon after Stand and Deliver, reviewing that. And then for certain, we're going to be back here on Tuesday, me and Wavy D, to break down WrestleMania. And that will be a fun episode. But until then, I hope you guys enjoy WrestleMania weekend. If you celebrate Easter, and all of that, happy Good Friday. Happy Easter to everyone. Have a great weekend, and I will see you guys on the next episode. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.